Lisa and Pete, the drive home is their domain. For your chance to win a share of 50 grand in workplace tech from Rico, see this domain, smallbusiness.rico.com.au.
Hey, the Italian Grand Prix is this weekend. And you may have heard on the Lisa and Pete show earlier in the week, we worked out why Daniel Ricciardo, our man from this town, always has a smile on his face.
I do a lot of things with my driving style, which are very nice to the car. I actually talk to it a lot during the race. I massage it. I wouldn't call it foreplay, but it's something like that. And Max is young. He's aggressive. He goes straight in, so...
And the good man joins us now on the Lisa and Pete Show. What an honour it is to have you, sir. Your fine hands all over the Lisa and Pete Show.
Hello, Daniel.
Good day, Lisa and Pete. What's going on, guys?
Well, we are here to talk motorsport, despite the music and despite the lead-in.
Let's do it, mate. Let's talk motorsport because it's a big weekend this weekend, and we'll get to the Italian GP in just a moment. But look, we got a few things to throw at you. And this is something I've always wanted to ask someone who drives an F1 racing car. Is it true that you can actually drive them upside down?
It's funny. We've been asked a few times because I think they kind of threw like a stat out there a few years ago saying that because we've got so much downforce, which is like that produces kind of the grip and like the suction, let's say, to the track, that at X speed, you know, say at probably 250 kilometers an hour, would have enough, call it suction, to go upside down in like a tunnel. So no one's ever tried it, but let's say the physics say that it would be possible. But I'll let someone else try it first.
All right, mate, 250 kilometres an hour flying around that track. Is that the average speed that you do, or do you get faster than that on average?
It depends. Like, so here this weekend we're in Monza in Italy, and I think it's the fastest track we go to of the year. So top speed's higher. We'll get up to about 360 kilometres an hour. But, the average is probably something like that, 220, 230.
Do you ever get, like, a bit scared even yourself?
I don't want to say no, but you'll kind of scare yourself if you have a moment, call it a moment. So if maybe you're going through a fast corner and you slide a bit or maybe nearly crash or something, then that's like, ooh. You get a bit of a jump, but otherwise, generally, no. Like, it's a good fear, I guess, anyway. So it's not like we're cruising. It's not a Sunday drive, but we're comfortable. We're comfortable with the speeds we do.
Right.
Mate, I got to ask you about this. Max Verstappen, in my personal opinion, is a real pain in the ass. Have you two... I know that's straight out.
Mm-hmm.
But have you two gone and gotten a drink lately? You know, maybe had a facial, had a bit of a chat, just... to sort of clear the air ahead of the Italian GP this weekend?
Yeah, we had the, let's say, the altercation in Budapest just before the summer break. And it was important that we cleared the air then. So he did come up with a beer. I wasn't still yet in the mood to have a beer with him. But we spoke one-on-one, and he apologised like a man, and that's all I could ask. Look, at the time it sucked, but... it is what it is, and we're all kind of competing, and it's intense, and it happens.
Mm.
Daniel, I have a question, and I apologise if it may sound, you know, like a real uneducated girly type of question, but I personally don't like the sound of people speeding in their cars on the street and screeching and everything. However, there is something about listening to an F1 car going around that track that I do find absolutely hypnotic, relaxing even. What is that about? What makes it purr like that?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, we'll put it this way. They're probably not a professional driver, and B, the car is probably not built for doing whatever they're trying to do. And then on the flip side, Formula One, it's got, you know, you've got professional drivers. The cars are worth millions and millions of dollars, and it's perfection. It's basically perfection. So... Yeah, it should sound that good.
Right. Thank you.
Now, mate, look, just before we let you go, just give us your thoughts on the Italian GP this weekend. What are you looking out for? How do you reckon you're going to go? How's the car feeling leading into the weekend?
It's one I always enjoy for two reasons. The atmosphere is nuts, and the race is cool because there's a lot of long straights, which normally make it, you know, if you're driving by yourself, it's a bit less exciting. But in a racing situation, it means you've got a lot of chance to overtake. Look, I'll be there Sunday doing what I can and hopefully getting some TV time with some nice overtaking moves.
All right. Well, I think I speak for all of Perth, Daniel, when I say, and again, it's going to sound like a girl, we're so proud of you to see you on the podium so many times and to see you conduct yourself in such a lovely manner in there amongst all those Verstappens.
I appreciate it. And all right. Before I go, I'm just going to say go Eagles.
Oh, yes, of course you do.
You are. Hey, mate, right. Hey, just quickly, Matt Prittis announced that he's having a little boy on the way as well.
Well, tell Matt. Congratulations.
Okay.
You're a ripper, mate. Right. You take care.
Have a post-race cannoli for us in Italy. What a life you have. Thanks,
awesome.
Daniel.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Father's Day is this weekend, Lise.
Yes, it is.
It's just around the corner. And look, I know about this. It'll be my second Father's Day.
Are you getting something on a rope?
I've already actually been given my gift because you and I, well, I won't be here for Father's Day this year. Because we're off to the Coral Coast.
Mm-hmm.
But this person also knows a fair bit about Father's Day considering he's got three kids. He's written a book about it, which is getting a whole heap of rave reviews by people like Carl Stefanovic and Lisa Wilkinson. It's called Muddle Your Way Through Fatherhood, and Paul Merrill, the author, joins us now. Good to have you on the show, mate.
How are you?
Hey, Paul. Yeah, just a couple of those names that Pete ruled off then. This book has really struck a nerve. Three boys. That's quite the, you know, scientific research required to put out this book. All I know about that is when they're teenagers, your house is going to smell.
Oh, believe me, we're past that stage.
Oh, really? Yes,
the fumigators have been in several times. Yes, I think the point of the book, I suppose, is that you can't be an expert on fatherhood unless you've sort of gone through it.
Yeah.
And I think if you've gone through it, you'll know that the normal parenting books are really not worth reading because they don't tell you what really goes on.
No, you want to know really the truth.
Like, yeah.
You know, don't so sugarcoat it. Give me the truth.
No, well, there's no sugarcoating in this book, I can tell you. It's raw and it's unfiltered, as it were.
So some of the things you can find out is, well, essentially just how to survive, how to change a nappy in 17 easy stages. Now, that's a lot of stages. That's like giving a cat a pill.
Well, with a bit of practice, you can get it down to 15.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
That's the way to look at it. A normal parenting book would say, yeah, you put the baby down on the mat, then you attach the nappy, and then you think, well, hang on. Let's go back there. And you realize that putting a nappy on, if you haven't paid attention in the antenatal classes, which of course men don't, then they are always muddling their way through. And I think muddling suggests trying to look competent where, you know, you don't have enough information to be competent.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, Paul, there was one antenatal class that I really paid attention to, and it was a woman talking to everybody about breastfeeding. And I kid you not, mate, she said that by her third child, she could actually squirt her breast milk from one end of the room to about 6 metres away, and then she pointed at one of the dads sitting in the far corner.
Yeah, this is your point, isn't it, Paul, about not paying
That is the most interesting antenatal anecdote I think I've ever heard. Normally what happens in antenatal classes is the obviously the woman taking it is sort of spreading it on the floor, demonstrating various positions, while the sort of men sit in a row awkwardly trying not to catch each other's eyes. And then at the end, she'll say, you know, have any of you fathers got a question? And sort of all look at each other, and one will say, well, you know, how long before you can have sex again? And that'll be it. And there'll be a bit of giggling, and, you know, that'll be the contribution.
Yes. And I guess the other thing is they probably teach you how to put a nappy on a doll, which isn't moving about, and especially when it's not a boy.
It's not fair, is it? I mean, it'd be better to train putting it on a bull, you know, or a dog when you just said walkies.
How many times have you been peed on, Paul?
Every other time it happens, doesn't it? It's a never-ending treadmill of poo and misery.
And weaving.
And it never ends as well. Like those things are never big enough. I find that the nappies just are never big enough. The amount of poo explosions that happened that no one nappy in the world, no matter the size, would be able to contain.
The nappy should really affix sort of just below the neck so it contains the whole of the body.
Now, one of the things I'm curious about is you offer simple ways to avoid being assaulted during childbirth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the childbirth itself is something that no man is prepared for. A woman has been preparing to be a mother all her life since she was pushing a little doll around in a pram. And obviously she did pay attention in antenatal classes and has read all those parenting books and magazines, whereas the man is suddenly handed this screaming sack of vomit and expected to be able to cope, isn't he? Yeah. And he doesn't know what's happened. Suddenly he's holding this little baby.
Yeah, well, there's you know, and it's not just that. It's not actually when the baby comes, but when the baby's on the way as well. I mean, I swear.
The you did this to me moment.
Oh, far out. Well, it wasn't you did this to me. It was
you did this to me.
That was how it was in the bloody thing. And you don't know when to put the wet towel on the forehead, when to rub the back.
I mean, men never complain when they're in pain, do they?
No, we don't. Mate, it's going to be a ripper. Just
Father's
purely,
Day on Sunday.
It is.
Every dad needs one.
It's out now. It's called Muddle Your Way Through Fatherhood. It's by Paul Merrill, who we've been chatting to now. And just by speaking to you, mate, we know that this is going to be a good read. So thank you so much for your time, Paul. We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Happy Father's Day.
The country thanks you, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Lazy Matt and Kimber's Laugh Out Loud. For Telethon, the Mix 94.5's Kids Appeal. Just looking at some of these pictures here. There's Pete Rosethorne.
Yes.
There's Matt Dutinsky from Clazy Matt and Kimber.
Can't miss him. There's famous Sharon, of course. She's emceeing the whole shebang.
Oh, yeah.
Sons of Fred. And that attractive woman in the left-hand corner there, Ms. Janelle Koenig, hello.
Oh, she's rubbish, I heard.
Oh, not at all.
Well, thank goodness it's already a sellout. That's a great sell. That's brilliant.
All my career, I've just longed to be a sellout.
Yeah.
I can't wait for someone to say, Janelle's a sellout. In every way. It's happened.
Well, the moment has arrived.
Oh, look, it's thrilling. It's thrilling. And it's all for Telethon. And it's all, what I love about this particular show is that it's all Perth talent.
Yes.
Nothing imported.
No.
All local winners.
We don't need anything imported. It's right here.
Oh, who needs them?
Absolutely.
Now, like a good hawk, you know, they tend to save the best till last. Where are you on the billing, Janelle? Do you know where you are in the pecking order of the night?
I do because I designed it myself.
Oh, nice. So you're last?
No. I'm in what's known in comedy terms as the sweet spot.
The sweet spot.
Yeah.
That's funny because Pete Rosethorne told me he was the sweet spot.
I have got a sweet spot for him.
Or maybe I misheard him.
No, so first on, after the break, is renowned as the sweet spot because the audience knows what's going on. They're relaxed.
Right.
And they've probably had a drink in the break and they're ready for more. They're refreshed and ready to go. So,
well, that's a good place to sit in the lineup, I think. Yeah. Because by the time they get to Rosethorne, they're drunk and rowdy and they're throwing glasses if he's not funny enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Or isn't it, Lawley?
Oh, that's true. It's the Astor.
Yeah. Beautiful venue.
It is.
I think you should mention my photo in the poster. If you haven't seen it, my face is much bigger than everybody else's because I haven't had a professional photo taken for years.
Right.
Like pre-kid years.
Right. Okay, so if people are seeing this poster right now and going, oh, that's what she looks like, and then rocks up tonight and go, I don't recognise that person after the break in the sweet spot.
Pretty much.
Right, okay.
I kept turning up to gigs going, and people would be going, who's this girl? Because we're expecting a long-haired, dark size 12 girl, and you look like her anymore.
Well, I think you look just the same, albeit your head has shrunk.
I don't know about that.
Look, it's going to be a fabulous night, Janelle Koenig, and thank you so much for being a part of it and raising these funds for the Telethon Kids.
Doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. It is a sellout. Sorry, but you snooze, you lose.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And next you guys, time.
You're off up north.
Yes, we are.
I recently toured up north with Jim Owen.
Right.
And I've got, Lisa, you'll be thinking to yourself all the time, why the hell would any woman want to live up there? I can tell you why, Lisa, in two words, unsealed roads. Think about what you will.
Okay. I'll get back to you on that one after next week.
I believe it's a metaphor. Like sweet spot. Thank you, Janelle Koenig.
Thank you, Janelle.
Lisa.
There are 50,000 reasons to join Lisa and Pete for the drive home and win your share of $50,000 of workplace tech solutions to be won today with Ricoh Australia, celebrating 50 years.